Freight and logistics business Grindrod released their annual financials today. For the 12 months ended December 2018, the company reported revenue inclusive of joint ventures up 16% to 24.6 billion rand. Headline earnings rose by 26% to 716.6 million rand. The company reports that due to a key mine being placed on care and maintenance in Sierra Leone, it had to make an impairment of 568 million rand on its rail locomotive business that's been serving the mine. Well, to tell us more about the results and the goings-on at the company, I'm joined on the line by Andrew Waller. He's the CEO at Grindrod. Andrew, you made significant decisions last year to offload the non-profitable part of your shipping business. Just tell us about that process.
Indeed, you're quite correct. During June last year, we unbundled the shipping business. So the shipping company stands alone from the freight and financial services business. You'll see the results are quite significantly affected by it because there was a big foreign currency translation reserve release in the current year as a result of that.
Yes.
And that's all disclosed under the discontinued operations.
Yeah, so you benefited to the tune of some 2.8 billion rand with that.
Essentially what happens is the dollar investment in the shipping business now gets realized for shareholders as that share gets given to them separately.
Right. And what about the rail locomotive business in Sierra Leone? Why did that business end up not working for you?
So at the moment, the mine that it serves is sitting under care and maintenance, which is a big problem for us because we have 34 locomotives up there in Sierra Leone, which now we are making plans to remove from the mine site and use elsewhere in our organisation. So we chose it to spend in June to write down that investment.
Right. So in terms of your existing operations, freight and financial services, I see you reported earnings up 24%. If we can start with the freight business, just break down how your various businesses there fared.
So freight business had a really good year. Ports and terminal operations, good volumes through the port of Maputo, and similarly quite good volumes through the rest of our terminals, Richards Bay in particular. All of those doing well on the back of quite strong mining commodity demand. We're fortunate the coal and iron ore prices are as high as they are at the moment. The logistics business is more focused on South Africa, so of course subject to the low growth in South Africa. And there are any advances we make obviously are from taking away business from competitors rather than being new business.
Mm. And at the Maputo Port and Terminals business, you report handling volumes of cargo of some 19.6 million tonnes. That's up 7% on the prior year. But your headline earnings still came down substantially there. So what was the issue there?
In the prior year, we were fortunate to benefit from a much higher iron ore price and some take-or-pay volumes where we contract and the customers don't use the terminal, we get take-or-pay revenue, or if the price is extraordinarily, exceptionally high, then they'll pay us additional revenues because we participate in that upside. That didn't occur in the current year.
Right. So what about the marine fuel business? I see you experienced some declines there. Does that serve as an indicator of lower tanker traffic or lower trade levels?
So the marine fuel business has been struggling for a while with very low margins. In fact, this year was a lot better, and that's partly because the management of that business has spent a lot of time looking at higher margin, diversified products. But we expect that business to have a good future, especially given the new IMO 2020 regulations, which require much more refined product to be burned by ships traveling on our seas.
Right. And then let's go back to your financial services business, which we touched on at the top. How did that fare? And of course, in the period under review, you also came out of formally assisting with the payout of social security grants. How much of an impact did that have on your bottom line?
Yes, we only finally got out of that in the last quarter. So we've had three quarters of the year with the SASSA payments. And that now has transitioned almost entirely across. So we're very pleased that that went away without too many hiccups. The business continues to do very well. All the businesses grow revenue and earnings year after year on a steady basis, so we're very pleased with that. The funding core deposits also increased quite nicely, and we're a little bit more conservative on our advances, given the state of the market at the moment.
Yes. What's happening with your continuing rail operations? And I see you report that the Zimbabwean government paid you some $36 million. Mm-hmm. That related to a deal dating as far back as 1997. But on translation, you didn't really get the equivalent of $36 million. How exposed are you to the Zimbabwean market? And clearly it's very tricky to do business there because of liquidity issues.
yeah, just at the moment is a little tricky. I'm sure they'll get through it. It's tricky because you've got a whole a team of staff and assets to run, and you need to pay them enough money to survive as well. So you've got the income being paid in what they call RTGs, and you end up paying the staff in RTGs, but you need to give them more and more earnings in order that they can survive. So quite challenging at the moment, but still we're hopeful that economy will come right. The payments that we receive from the government are something that should have been paid from the outset of the concession that we run there, and we've never accounted for any of it, and probably just as well. And in fact, what we've agreed with the auditors will only account for it on receipt, and then, of course, immediately then book an impairment because, as you know, the RTGs trade between 2 and 4 to the dollar. So you need to impair those as soon as you get them.
So you achieved headline earnings growth of 32% to around 124 million rand in your agricultural logistics business. What's involved in that business, and what do you attribute to the improvement in that division?
So the agribusiness represents our two investments in the two businesses called Senvest and NWK. They are big agricultural businesses that operate in the Free State and the Northwest Province. We have 20% of each of those. And they, if you remember, we had a very, very strong growth, agricultural growth year last year. And there were significant tons reaped in that maize season. That all ended up in the silos. And because the farmers had the opportunity to hold on to it, waiting for a better price on their maize, obviously the company itself then gets the storage revenue. So a good year from both those businesses.
Right. So looking ahead, if I read correctly, you indicate that you have minimal debt. So are you looking to make any further acquisitions, or you're just going to consolidate what you have for now?
I think on two fronts. We're very much aware that we have a risk on coal and magnetite, and we need to diversify the commodities that we trade. So that's mineral commodities, as well as obviously the grains, sulfurs, cars, fuel, etc. So a diversification of the commodities, and as well as a geographic diversity. So we're spending a lot of time in the north of Mozambique. Obviously, you know, there's gas offshore there,
yes.
And we'd like to assist in that whole process. So very focused on corridors, unlocking corridors, making sure that we can get Africa's commodity out to the world. And obviously that has to do with logistic pricing, and we've got to do everything we can to get that at the right level. Yes, we've got the firepower and the fact that we don't have any debt on our balance sheet, and at some stage we need to address that,
super.
Either by buying back shares or introducing more businesses that are aligned to the strategy of unlocking the corridors.
That was Andrew Waller, he's CEO at Grindrod.